We are on at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tonight, Wednesday. This is January the 20th, and we're looking forward to being with you. Listen, let me ask you a question tonight. How much do you love me? Now, when my daughter was little, we'd play this game where we'd say, how much do you love me? And we'd kind of hold our hands out, you know, measured, probably a foot wide. And it's like, this much? We'd say, no. Then we'd open up our hands a little higher, this much? No. And then wider? No. And then finally, I'd open my arms as far as I could open my arms, and I'd say, I love you this much. Now, that was, the total capacity of my ability to stretch my arms. And my daughter noticed that that was the total ability that I had to stretch my arms. And when I would say, I love you this much, she knew. That meant with every ounce of my being. And she learned to do that back. And I'd watch her little arms just open all the way up. And she says, I love you this much. And she'd have an intensity. Listen, I want you to know that God loves you. Arms wide open, but the arms, they are infinite. Rust is there tonight, shatterthedarkness.net, Wednesday. Listen, January 20th, looks kind of like, it almost looks like it's March here. Everything melting, a little bit of drizzle, things look brown. I don't know how it is in your area, but listen, glad to be with you tonight. We're on the topic this week anyway. Topic has been the nature of God versus, or in comparison or contrast to, the globalist God, small g of course, and counterfeit spirituality. Because listen, there's a lot of spirituality, a lot of supernaturalism out there. It's real, but not all of it's good for you. And that's true about, all kinds of things in this fallen world that we live in, this ragged edge of a world where in a earthquake-rocked city, Port-au-Prince, Haiti, in a nation, another one today, 0.5 something, and it is amazing. Jesus said in the end of days about earthquakes, and I think that has a lot to do with even the concept of the creation decaying. Now, for the theologians, philosophers, physicists out there, go ahead and check out Romans chapter 8, because creation is groaning, it says. It's sentient. It's alive to God, that is, and it responds. And literally, Romans 8 reveals that creation itself knows the fact that it's subject to bondage and decay, and that it's looking forward to the day of glorification. There's coming a new heaven and a new earth, and it seems like creation knows that. There is some kind of communication of that knowledge of God. Romans 8 will show you that kind of thing, and it is amazing. So how much does God love you? Does he have finite arms? Can they be measured? Is it a mile long, 500 miles wide? Is it the length of one galaxy or the length of 1,000 galaxies? How much does God love you? If God stretches out his arms, the problem is you would never see how far, how wide, how deep, how long is the love of God. You could not, if you had the greatest measuring instrument, measure the infinity, the immensity of God. And that's quite different than the finite spirituality that is engaging, ravaging this world that we're living in. And I'm saying right now, there is a counterfeit, alternative spirituality, a God, small g, finite, that is ravaging this ragged edge of a world because he seeks globalism, folks. And so when you think in terms of globalism, the ideology, the political, the military developments, all the way to Armageddon, but because of the nature of that spirituality, because of the nature being toxic, destructive, self-disintegrating. You could see this. Why don't you study it? This is Ezekiel 28, when the once perfect anointed cherub inwardly willed of his own an insurrection so violent that he changed his genetics. his DNA. He is turned inside out. He desecrated his sanctuaries. It was self-disintegration, like a match that has been lit, burnt, completely smoked. But there is a, the will, the agenda, the passion, the fury of that presence. And I'm going to tell you, an ancient hate. I tell you, an ancient hate, because when you find, you got to understand Revelation 12. There the adversary is, the slanderer, slandering the people of God night and day. There is, in exorcism, when I've done deliverances, many of them over the years, demons mock God, slander God, blaspheme God, vulgar with God. Of course, until they're commanded, shut up and get out, and then they have to. So listen, when you think in terms of the spirituality, the masquerade, you know, some people have trouble with clowns, you know, at the circus. We know that John Wayne Gacy, I think it was John, that went around in a clown suit, but he also went around torturing and taking little boys. And, well, just listen, the masquerade is so spiritually deep. Fallen mankind with broken spiritual capacity to perceive cannot perceive the New Age spirits, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now operative in those who are lost. And so we are engaged, on the one hand, with a ravaging, furious agenda, deceive the most, occupy the most, preoccupy the globe, bring about an agenda. It's all about wanting to kill God, Revelation 19:19. Now, on the other hand, God is not silent. God has... Listen, that's very important if you're someone that's even a believer, deeply involved in end time, you know, messages and conspiracy and looking at the globalism. See, I've had to go into the dark side, kind of like the spies in Jericho, you know, go into the land and spy it out. It's ugly. It's real. It's big. It's broad. It's going to bring destruction. But God says in Ephesians 5, expose the evil deeds of darkness. How can you do that unless you know somewhat about them? And so that's part of what we do, but we don't want to neglect, in the context, a greater thing. How much does God love me? Look at the arms wide open at the cross. Look at the arms of infinite love there. Christ is given. God is given. I love you with an infinite stretch. Immeasurable. Immense. God personally, face to face, heart to heart, loves you. And I know that for sure, and I know also that God knows you. And I know that there's no one that wants you more, no matter where you are, whether, again, we've had messages downloaded there in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and whether there's, by the providence of God, a way of those hearing down in that area. Prayers are with you, and money is sent, and I know there's a lot of help going down, but it is devastating. I saw today all the individuals they were showing with broken bones waiting in hospitals in line. They're waiting in line, so much so that the broken bones, because if they're not dealt with soon enough, they can begin to go gangrene and have to be cut off. And that's the devastating thing. That is the devastating thing there. So the prayers, the support, and the help for people, human beings, will constantly be there. And you can take a look at shatterthedarkness.net. There's ways in which you can help, and we hope that you do. Again, if you're new tonight, new to this program, my name is Russ Dizdar. Shatterthedarkness.net, www.shatterthedarkness.net, and there's where you're going to find out everything about us and what we are and what we do and why we are here. There is a supernatural, compelling, grace and mercy and presence. That's why, you know, I stand behind this mic, and that's why this door, I believe, has been opened to share with you. There is no one that can love you more, even though we're contrasting the nature of God versus the nature of the globalist God in counterfeit spirituality. I think there needs to be a contrast. Both are real, but one is lethally wrong. And that's why we're here. That's what it's all about. What's wrong with saying God is real, God loves you, look at the cross and see what occurred? There, the blasting apart of the finality of death occurs. So that's what it's all about. So I want to say again, thanks for being here. Every once in a while, if you get a chance, write me a note. Let me know you're listening. ShatterXmailSBCGlobal.net. ShatterXmailSBCGlobal.net. And we're always glad to hear from you. On the ShatterTheDarkness.net site, you can get 31 days we have of Blaze devotionals, little miniature sermons every day. There's also the free course. If you want to be built up as a believer in Christ, Confronting the Powers is a training course we've done local, a teaching course, and you can have it free. There are two conferences coming up, and one is called Christian Symposium on the Paranormal. It's going to be in St. Louis, April the 9th and the 10th. April the 9th and the 10th. And they're going to have me speak there at it also. It's going to be Dr. Mary Jo Schneller, Russ Dizdar, Dr. Gregory Reed, and Tony Cowell. It's going to be April the 9th and 10th, Twin Rivers Worship Center there on Tennyson. Now, there's if you go to the Shadow of the Darkness site, scroll all the way down, you're going to find a place to click, and you'll get a PDF file. A second conference is in Nashville, and that's called, Last Days Conference, April the 23rd and the 24th. And the website that Tom is putting up should be up any time now that will give you the ability to register. But there they are. And Mike Bennett from Future Quake Radio, Guy Malone from Roswell, Alien Resistance, you know, and Chris White, Nowhere to Run, you know, Chris and Mike Tater, we're all going to be down there speaking in Nashville the 23rd, 24th. I hope you can come and be a part of it. Pray about planning on being there and joining us. Want to tell you also, we were on with Stan Monteith a few times this last week. We got the connections up on the site. Tonight, after this show, later on tonight, I'll be on the radio, Acceleration Radio. It's called The Acceleration, and it's Lynn Marzulli. With Lynn Marzulli. Many of you know Lynn Marzulli, and you have, many of you have probably read even, some of his books, materials, The Alien Interviews, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, and others. So I've got a link there to the site and how to listen to it tonight. Lynn does a great job in interview, and I've met Lynn, seen him also, did a conference with Lynn in Mansfield. By the way, there's still CDs that can be purchased with Gary Kaw, Lynn Marzulli, and myself. And then there is going to be a radio show with Pastor Butch Paul next week sometime. I think it's Wednesday night, but just keep an eye on the Daily Shatter website. There you can take a look. Listen, tonight as we get into this, I want to ask you where you are. I know there's a broad variety of individuals, and I know that by God's providence, there are those who come and listen, and there are those that monitor people that check into what we're doing. That's a good thing. I'm glad you're out on the carpet. And even in the shadows, as you listen, you never know. You never know how the Spirit of God can really bring a powerful convincing. So we would pray. That's a good thing. Pray. That, like Saul of Tarsus, if you don't know about that, go to the book of Acts and read about him, okay? We would ask that God would encounter you and bring you, and, it was a miracle encounter, obviously, and we would pray for those who are, you know, those who are still haters of God, deniers of God, and those who might be enemies even of what we are out there doing. Well, I tell you this, we love you. God loves you, and it's demonstrated the cross. And I know you don't like to hear that, but have you ever examined your side? the Luciferian side. Have you ever looked at, and I know that there's this great elitist, this secret wisdom of the ages, you know, kind of, you know, elitist knowledge that is compiled. And I think just because we as human beings in a fallen world with our lack and our limited level, anything that we get into that seems to be secretive and deep and broad and wide and elusive to everybody else, that we're privileged and, well, that's how the fallen cherub did it in the beginning. Genesis 3. The promise for a higher level of knowledge, gnosis, knowing, a promise of an evolution to deity, but there's a catch. Here it comes. There's a catch. Read the small fine print. You got to chuck God. You got to drop the word of God. And you got to embrace the want-to-be God that's offering the alternative spirituality. For a lot of you as New Agers and psychics and remote viewers and so forth, there's this grasping of the spirituality flowing down from the conscious universe, the field out there, and you don't understand that the energy and experiences and events that you encounter have behind it and connected to it real entities, fallen, finite spirits. They've got an agenda. They can masquerade, they can morph, they can look so translucent, angel-like, but in the end, you're bitten. In the end, you got to realize what, as Jesus said, what would it profit anyone, a man, if you gained the secrets, if there were those, of the universe, yet lose your own soul? God is saying that your soul is more valuable than the sum total of creation, the sum total of the wealth of the world. The value of your soul is measured at the foot of the cross. Unashamed and glad and delighted to tell you that God loves you, well, wider than I can stretch my arms. If God were to stretch his arms, and that's an anthropomorphism, then I want you to know something. They would not be able to be measured in any possible way. There is such a vast difference between the finite and the immensity of God in comparison to all of the finiteness of all of creation. So that's what we're going to engage again tonight. We've mentioned already that, let me just say it this way. When it comes to the spirituality that is aggressively ravaging the West and the rest of the world, literally, by the hundreds of millions, literally, the New Age movement and all of the writers, if you go back to, I mean, there's a lot of light-level New Agers, but if you go back to the roots of Helena Blavatsky and Alice Bailey and Barbara Marx Hubbard later on and David Spangler and many other writers, you're going to find that the foundational writers, that all the rest of the writers are in sync with that and they were guided, and you could see this particularly in Helena and in Alice Bailey, by what they would consider, an ascended master. Some have talked about the Great White Brotherhood. And you have to understand that this is what the Bible calls Cosmocrator. This is in Ephesians chapter 6. In the definition of principalities, powers, and the wicked, the Spirit of God calls them the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly realm. In the heavenly realm. So out of the heavenly realms comes all kinds of, again, there's going to be delusion in the heavenly realms. That's where I think a lot of the ufology and the alienology and the alien quest and the desire for disclosure. And I think that there's a great setup, and I think I'll do a series on this, on disclosure. Big, big talk about disclosure. And I think that eventually those that are seeking and contacting and wanting disclosure, well, they're going to get it. When the abyss opens up and the entities cross over into our dimension and come down upon the earth, but it's not going to be what they wanted. We'll do a series on that coming up, and we'll touch on that issue too. But let's talk tonight about, again, what it is you might be embracing. And it doesn't make any difference whether you go to Mount Shasta or Sedona, or if you're in Europe in the Black Forest and Palatine, and you go wherever you want to go. I don't care if it's Bohemian Grove and you bow down to the 40-foot owl, you're still dealing with finite spiritual presence. Real, can give powers, will hook you. And like Judas, in the end, it's all about Akeldama, the field of blood, and the losing of a soul. And so let's examine the reasons why. And let me ask you tonight, if you don't know God, is there any good reason why tonight you wouldn't want to come to know God? Any good reason why you wouldn't want forgiveness, the life of God coming into you, the power of God, the gift of eternal life, and the love of God embracing you both now and forever? Being assured of what's going to happen even if you die. Knowing what side of the fence you are when it comes to Armageddon. Listen, when it comes to Armageddon, military men and women, you better know your stuff. And more than just knowing your stuff, you better know which side of the fence you're on. There truly are only two roads. Revelation 19 will give you two pictures, two armies. Why don't you examine it and see? Examine Revelation 19 and see the two different armies. One's connected to infinite source, immeasurable source, God, Christ. And one is connected to fallen, limited, finite, and may I say almost an insanity. A spiritual insanity. The lust for the finite to become infinite, to become God. The goal of a fallen, finite cherub to evolve and become God, kill God, take his place. Well, it's never happened. Never been able to scratch the surface on this. And there will be the attempt one more time. And I'm going to warn New Agers and those who are into spiritual experiences but not God, that those experiences have entities who are in an agenda, and it leads humanity to become the fodder. And I pray that God's gracious hand would open your eyes tonight. If you're new tonight, I know we're 25 minutes into the show and want to say again, welcome. It's great to be with you. As I sit here behind this side of the mic and sense the presence of God and the sometimes the compelling of God, the compelling. And since the Spirit of God, it's really quite interesting to know. You can be in Russia, you can be in China, I don't care, you know, it doesn't make any difference where you are. The Spirit of God dwelling in me is, well, everywhere. And so we're gonna look to see what God has to say and sense for all of those listening, and maybe there's a special word. I'm going to give you one out of Hebrews. And I want, if there are tonight Luciferians and those who monitor the show, listen to this verse. Check it out, Hebrews chapter 4, in context. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now, when I read this, and I look at this, it's one of many, many verses that speak about the infinity of God. Now, you know what I did the first night? I'm going to read this again. Norman Geisler, theologian, apologist, wrote 4-volume theology set, systematic theology. I got volume 1 here, page 124. I'm going to quote this again, the meaning of God's infinity. The meaning of God's infinity, quote, starting in page 124. The term infinite, not finite in quotes, is negative in form. But it denotes a positive attribute of God. God is literally limitless in being. He is without boundaries, a being beyond the limits of the created universe. It is only because of the finite nature of our concepts that this positive attribute must be expressed, well, in a negative term. Infinite is literally a negative form of non-finite, the idea of non-finite, to describe the positive attribute of God. Now, I'm quoting again on page 125 of Norman Geisler's Theology, Volume 1. God's infinity should be distinguished from other concepts of infinite. God is not infinite such as found in mathematics, where there are an infinite number of points between A and B. This is an abstract infinite, not a concrete one as God is. Let me explain. God is not infinite like in numbers between A and B. There's no in between. There's no, you know, measuring stick. No, there's no beginning end. There's no concept of this. When we find the reference that God is the Alpha and the Omega in reference to the beginning of creation, the end of it all, the beginning of life and the end, all of that for us. He's beyond the creation. God's been there forever, before, in the beginning. And God didn't create out of necessity, out of need. He wasn't lonely. The sufficiency of God is very clear as we also study. Let me read again, and I'm going to quote again from this one page 125. Systematic Theology, Norman Geisler, quote, God is infinite in a metaphysical way, not in a mathematical way. He is an actual infinite being, not an abstract one. We touched on the idea of pure actuality. God is not potential. God is. God actually is. Now, I can continue the quote here. Further, God is not an infinite series of real things. He is not an endless series of moments. For example, of one after another. At best, this would only be a potential infinite, where one more could always be added. God is neither a series of moments, nor is he capable of being added to. He is actually infinite being. Now this is, end of quote. This is, again, really good for the believers, vast to know this. Let me read Psalm 147, verse 5. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Literally, the Hebrew word can be is limitless, that his understanding is infinite. Powerful. There we go. Isaiah 7:15. If you read the entire chapter, you're going to find that when we look at the coming of Emmanuel, God in human flesh, you're going to read in the chapter again about God's ability being way beyond man's ability to be able to be examined, to know what God is going to do. Let me give you simply really quick here because of the time. The doxology in Romans chapter 11. Again, the Spirit of God now, who knows the deep things of God infinitely because he is infinite God, reveals this. Listen, quote, this is Romans 11, quote, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. When we stop tonight to think in terms of the infinite nature of God, the immensity of God, we're dealing with the fact that God cannot be measured. Not with a super collider, not with a ruler, not with a tape measuring device. You cannot pack a bag, begin to climb the mountain of God and think you'll ever come out. You can climb and climb and climb and climb and climb for 100 million years. There is no sense of center other than God revealing a locality for our sake of God. Whether you go, if you think in terms of one end of God to the other end of God, which there's no ending, I'm just saying if you go to the east, the west, the north, God is God in all his area. There's no idea of stretching God so far that then weakens God and God fades. The acidity of God, the idea, listen, that you've got to understand this is the necessary being behind creation. Listen, under the concepts of intelligent design, it cannot be an alien, finite master race. Because you would then have to ask, well, who created the alien, finite master race that flies around in ships and treats us like dirt? It's a big issue. It's a very big issue. And so when we take a look at the revelation of John's gospel, it is deep theology. Chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with, imperfect intense, the next word, pros, was, always has been, always will be, face-to-face in equality with God, and the Word was imperfect, again, not having beginning or end or time. This is not a past tense. This just literally is giving the expression that he who always was, the Word being eternal, was pros, face-to-face with God, is, was, always has been God. And the Logos, God, became flesh. The infinite became flesh. Now, this is incredible because now we are talking about the infinite as seen visibly in the incarnation. And again, as we give the explanation, I don't want to miss the passion. The passion is, I love you, God says. I love you so much, I give you my son, monogenesis. This is the only one of a kind. No one else can say, I am the resurrection and the life. If any man die, any man believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. You know, this is one that went to the cross to conquer sin, Satan, death, hell, all of it. So I'm urging you tonight, as a believer in Christ, to stretch yourself in the knowledge of God in Scripture. To really, really get into knowing this incredible depth. Now, when I read earlier Hebrews chapter 4, nothing in all creation, now listen to this, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Once again, revealing God is bigger, his ability to see all and know all is bigger than the sum total of creation. So if you can be a scientist, a physicist, looking, an astrophysicist, you could be looking at the universe. How vast, how wide, how broad, how many galaxies, how many planets, how many suns. And again, it is that all of creation, the sum total of it, as vast as it is, though it's able to be counted per se, God says nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes. And see, that's us. It's not creation that thinks it can hide from God. Creation is not the one that has sinned against God. The earth and the creation that we live here in the midst of this earth, this planet, It did not sin against God, but I want you to know something. It has been infected to the point of bondage and decay. There's a disruption. That's why there are tectonic plates moving and earthquakes occurring and seemingly randomly, you know, in China, in Indonesia, in the United States, there at Port-au-Prince, things can happen. Because the earth is decaying. And it's decaying because of an invasion of a toxic presence and the conditions of sin. Now, study this in Romans 8. Creation is seen to be sentient and able to respond to God and know that there is a new day coming. That's right. Groaning, having deep a sense of emotion about the coming glorification and finally a new heaven and a new earth. There is a deliverance. Did you know that what happened at the cross purchased or secured the reality of a new heaven and a new earth? New creation. Uninfected creation. On the scale of the universe and of this little planet called Earth. Behind it, God. Behind it, the immeasurable, the infinite God. And so nothing in all creation, the totality of creation, is hidden from God's sight. Listen, you go to Romans chapter 8, and you can read about how, as a believer in Christ, nothing in all creation, not the angels deep, nothing can separate you from the love of God. There's nothing bigger than God. There's nothing that can come along and pull God's grip, God's sovereign hand, God's love off you as a believer in Christ. God loves you as wide as he can open his arms. And I say that in the sense of an anthropomorphism. God, you can even see when Jesus is explaining to people that God the Father talks about not worrying about tomorrow. You know, listen, it talks about God, Jesus talks about how the Father knows how many hairs are on your head. When we talk about God's presence, God's knowledge, and God's power, well, let's talk about all three of those. Let's discuss all three of those here in the body and the final 20 minutes of this program tonight. God's presence, God's knowledge, God's power. Again, welcome to all those who may be new. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Take a look at some of the conferences coming up, the free materials that are out there, the daily devotions and so forth, and we encourage you. Take your time on that website, a lot of stuff there. I know it can be a lot at one time, but just take your time. Tonight we're talking again in this series for the week on the nature of God versus the nature of the globalist God. Globalists, the unwitting globalists and the knowing globalists. What's the difference? Well, the knowing globalists are in Luciferic worship. They're engaged spiritually. The deeper you go, the more there's a direct contact with Luciferic presence. Now, when I say the unwittings, I do believe there are those who are unwitting in their being drawn into globalist ideology and the agenda, the push to be sucked in like a whirlwind, like a whirlpool. You're being dragged down into it. While there is force behind it. And that's found, again, in Ephesians chapter 2, the prince of the power of the air, Greek word, immediate dense atmosphere of the earth. And so there is a presence that has an agenda. We've called it the sequence of satanic evolution. But it is raging. It is passionate. It is furious. You can read about that in Revelation 12. And it is moving. Europe has been sucked in deeper, broader than even, well, Britain. They're on their way. Obviously the draw, the pool of the United States. And it's all coming down. the evolutionary side of it, or the emergence of globalism, is one thing. But there is a coming catastrophic event. Undergrounders have called it the Black Awakening. And they call it the Great Anarchy, the Great Chaos. There is a plot, a blueprint, a design, and a building towards that day. Literally, I would say this. The dark side is bulging at the seams to break out in an insurrection, a coup that will level current governments, structures, infrastructures, militaries, and force the need to go global with a new regime that has the pinnacle of satanic manifested presence and power. Now, some of you that are listening, because you've written me, you're part of that plot. Some that would listen and examine what we do, we have found out, listen, you're in the shadows, but if you're listening, I hope you've heard. You know, in the satanic ritual sites, even at Bohemian Grove, in the underground places and caves throughout Pennsylvania and other places in the United States, in the double basements and secret locations, listen, God says nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. And there is a day of account. There's a payday someday, as an old preacher said. Part of that is demonstrated in Revelation 19:20. The end of globalism, the end of the Antichrist, the end of all New Age spirituality. The end of the mirage that brought about the greatest destruction of humanity in all of history. Can't you see that coming? And then there's the great white throne judgment when God ends it all. And God has a right, as the infinite one who had brought about creation, offered and unleashed redemption. But there will be separation. God's not going to let this ragged edge of a world the way it is right now. He's not going to let it live forever. Sin is literally decadent everywhere. But listen. The sin bearer is bigger than the sum total of the decadent filth that is out there. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. That's the word of God. And whatever your background, how big your sin is and what you've done, even if you've tasted human blood, the blood of Christ is more powerful. And right now is a time for you to now surrender to the living God. He summons you to come. Give your heart. Open up your life wide. Trust in the living Christ. Listen, to reject the summons of God is to reject the Spirit of grace. And there's a warning. Don't insult the Spirit of grace. God wants to redeem you. Satan wants to use you. Your choice. And your choice does bring consequences. If you don't know Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, King, and His presence and power in your life and the gift of eternal life, listen, then God's on the outside. He wants to get on the inside. And maybe right now, that's why you're listening. Bible says that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So come to Christ. Don't hide. Come on out. Grace is offered right now. Now, I mentioned that we're going to talk about the presence, the knowledge, and the power. The presence and the knowledge and the power. When it comes to God being infinite and the immensity of God, the idea of immeasurable, you cannot measure God. We talked about God being immaterial, so you're not going to be able to take God, stretch his hand out, slice off one of his fingers, and put it under some kind of human instrumentality technology. And harness God. The scientists can keep doing that with the physical material universe, but they can't do it to God. Now, when we say presence, Where can I go from your presence? You ever read Psalm 139? In reference to the presence of God, the concept of the locality of God, God is in totality, in an infinite way, everywhere. God may show himself, like in Christ, in locality. We can have the concept of the throne of God, the idea for our necessity, a point of locality to engage. That's where relation, even the idea of seeing God face to face, involves seeing God truly, but not God exhaustively, as old theologian Francis Schaeffer used to say. You're going to truly see God, but you're not going to see God exhaustively. You'd have to have infinite eyes, and because you're listening to me right now, it's clear that you have finite eyes. Eyeballs that had a beginning. Eyeballs that can fade. Eyeballs that can be injured. Eyeballs that can, well, when you die, rot and go to the dust. As fantastic as an eye is, and your eyes are, they are finite. You consider the beach, Huntington Beach, California, and try to squint your eyes and look across the ocean and see Japan, China, or something. But you're going to realize, because I've done this when I was younger, I wanted to see how far I could see. There's just no human capacity to see. There's no human capacity to see through dense, dark fog like we had here the other night. There's no human capacity when I was in Cave Exploring 101 at Cumberland College years ago, deep under the ground when the lights were out, you could not see your hand in front of your face. Your eyeballs were no good. In that cave where we went cave exploring, they called it spelunking. Hours and hours and hours deep through tunnels, squeezing through tunnels, coming out in big places, seeing in underground little streams with albino crawdads. Towards the end, I'm laying on my arms, squeezing through the tunnels, 10, 12 people in front of me, 10, 12 people behind me. My arms got so tired that I decided to roll over on my back and rest my elbows for a while. My flashlight hit the ceiling no more than 8 inches from my head, and there were thousands of cave spiders. Thousands crawling all over each other. They'd been there all along. I just never saw them. For those in globalist, New Age, Luciferic spirituality, the demonic has been there all the time by vast numbers with finite fallen eyes and eyes that have been blinded by this Luciferic layering. You cannot see what it is you embrace. I remember seeing a movie one time where a young little girl, she needed really thick glasses, and she lost her glasses. She was at an airport. She picked up a little animal and began to pet it and saying, "Oh, a little kitty, little kitty." It was a rat. And so a lot of those that are projecting out into the astral planes and the Akashic Records and allowing voices and presences to come in and engaging spiritual, you have no idea that the translucent, seemingly nice little things that you're embracing are lethal, God-hating, human-using demonic presence. In the end, it would be their rage to see you go to hell. It would be the tears of Christ, how often he would have taken you up under his wings. But if you will not, if you won't, if you will to will against God, well then, in the end, you're toast, whether scientist, politician, military man, or a mom or a dad. There's a reason for the blood of Jesus, the cross, and the resurrection that shook the earth. It's found in John chapter 3. Have you read this yet? God so loved the world. The sum total of humanity. Pas anthropos, as we find it in Timothy, all humanity. So much so does he love you that he gave up, well, Christ. All of the punishment, all of the bruising, all of the bloodshed and pain and cross and death. Whether you like it or not, and hopefully you do, was for you, for redemption. Sin does have a price. And you could not pay it. Christ paid it. Once and for all. If you're trying to pay for your own sins, really? Then I guess you don't see the one who paid the price for you. It's time to relax, time to yield, time to fall into the arms of Jesus. No one like him loves you, alive right now. As a believer in Christ, in him you are secure. In him you are loved. His presence, omnipresence, everywhere. You can be anywhere. I can go anywhere. I can be deep in that cave under the ground as a believer, close my eyes and worship God and feel his presence. I could be on top of a mountain somewhere. I could be wherever it might be. In the toughest times, in the greatest of times, as a believer, a temple of the Spirit of God, I could close my eyes, I can have them open, I just simply begin to worship. God sought worshipers who would worship in spirit and in truth. To be in relationship, inseparable, unbroken, here we are. God's presence is awesome. Not just infinite, not just immense, not just out there, but as a believer in Christ, his presence is in here, inside, and it, God's presence is, well, awesome. Jesus. Awesome. In dealing with infinity, we're talking about the infinite presence everywhere. And if you're lost, God's on the outside. If you're saved, God's on the inside. And the goal really is God wants to get in the inside of everybody. That's God's will. He's not willing that anybody perish. But let me touch the second thing, knowledge. The idea of God's knowledge and wisdom being infinite. The infinity of God. Now again, not mathematically, not abstract, but truly, really. This is immeasurable, you know, as far as all that God... Listen, think in terms of the sum total of knowledge and wisdom. As a matter of fact, the concept of wisdom we find in Proverbs, the first few chapters, creates wisdom. Wisdom cries aloud. Wisdom wants you. Wisdom wants to enter in. God's wisdom in a fallen world wants to enter your life and bring the guidance and perception. And listen, you and I, being created by God, we have spiritual capacity, but because of the fall, cut off. Are you going to let the dark side's deceptive counterfeit enhance you? Or you can let God come back in and enhance everything, open up the doors. Listen, you open up the doors to the dark side, it comes in. You'll have finite, real spiritual experiences, none of which lead you to God, none of which satisfies the depth of your soul, because you were meant for God. God's knowledge is beyond the scientists, beyond the physicists, beyond the philosophers. Where is the wise man? Where is the intellect? Who can instruct God? Who's going to write a book and say, God, did you read my book? Come on. I love the fact that God, who I know and who lives in me, who's out there that's going to instruct God? You'd have to have more knowledge. You'd have to, listen, ultimately there's one that has it all. Now there's one that wanted it all, and that's why we're in this crazy mess. And if you're filled with that kind of pride, and elitists and globalists and Luciferians are. They want this elitist. They want precision in everything concerning knowledge and speaking. And, listen, they'll correct everybody and anybody. But they're going to sound like a babbling fool on the day of the great white throne judgment. There is no excuse then. I mean, if you look back what God said to Job at times, it's amazing. In all the questioning Job has, when God then unveils Job's concept, Job's knowledge of God is blown out of the limited waters that he once had. Job's little puddle of knowledge of the God, little puddle of the knowledge of God just got broadened to a deep, wide, broad lake. So if you're a believer going through the tough times, pour yourself into the Word of God, consume the Scriptures, and gain while you go through it. Knowledge involves the past, the present, and the future. All contingencies, all possibilities, and the ultimate actuality. Revelation 19 is about the final actuality. A lot of the prophetic revelation of God is all about that reality coming. So the omniscience, God is infinite in knowledge and wisdom. And you can know God, you can grow, you can continue, and we'll never stop growing. And wow, he invites us to do this. And then the last thing is omnipotent, this infinite power. Obviously, the universe is vast. The galaxies, the planets, the suns. Obviously, DNA and genetics, pretty exciting studies. All of that and much more, created by God, your eyeballs that see, your ears that now hear, the spiritual capacity inside of you, the cardia, the heart, that God made for himself, for you to know him. If you don't, you can open up right now and simply believe on the living Christ, ask him to come into your life and give you the gift of salvation, and God shall enter in your life. He shall rush in. Wow. This knowledge is very precious. Believers, get it out. Share with others. Let God summon them. It's personal, passionate. It is the love of God. How much does he love us? Open wide your arms, God. Infinite, immeasurable in stretch. Hey, blessings. We'll see you Friday night. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net.